Hare Krishna. Today I'm just going to speak briefly about the departure of Steve Jobs and how it reminded me of the type of dynamism that was embodied in Srila Prabhupada in a spiritual and transcendental way for spreading Krishna consciousness. Yesterday morning, I got up in the morning to and I began to write before we had our reading session. I opened my computer. It came to sort of the default opening of the Mac website, and immediately I saw this picture of Steve Jobs. It's at 1955 to 2011. And I thought, wow, that's strange. That's the type of thing that you do when someone leaves their body. And I just thought, well, did he leave his body? And I went on to the news, and sure enough, he had. Young man, relatively young man speaking, and someone who really revolutionized what computers meant, revolutionized actually many other things in terms of how people listened to music, what telephones were, because he was brave enough, innovative enough, inspired enough to think differently, to not be settled with the status quo, and to, I don't think even the idea is that he knew what people wanted, and he really had his pulse on the market. But even more than that, he actually created a desire in people that you want this. And that was something that Srila Prabhupada had also instilled in us with his transcendental message when he came to the West and met young people who were engaged in intoxication and illicit sex, and were looking to get away from the world, live an irresponsible lifestyle. So although we're looking for an alternative, Srila Prabhupada knew that they're looking for an alternative. He presented an alternative, but it wasn't exactly the alternative we were consciously looking for. It wasn't the alternative that we were looking for. We weren't looking for a Eastern religion. We weren't looking to change our way of dress, walk around in bed sheets. We weren't looking to put tilak on our noses or to shave our hair. Just the opposite. We were actually growing our hair and thinking that the longer the hair, the nicer it was. But rather, Srila Prabhupada convinced us, yes, this is what you want. And so much so that it became like a major revolution of Krishna consciousness in Srila Prabhupada's time. So Srila Prabhupada created a demand for Krishna consciousness by his spiritual purity and also by his boldness and his approach to what he saw was the way to get people to engage in spiritual life by starting restaurants, by drawing women into his fold, disciples, by engaging the women in the same way that he did men, and trying any way that gave respect to and followed the basic principles of Krishna consciousness, but at the same time that reached out to others and inspired them to themselves also embrace the principles of devotional service. I'll just go back to before I continue on to Steve Jobs and to Mac. I've been using Mac computers for many years, I don't know, 15 years. And before that I was using other computers, IBM and Toshiba. I really was not satisfied with them. I never really felt comfortable. I didn't really think this is what a computer is supposed to be. But because at that time Macintosh it was a different language, it wasn't compatible with PCs. Everyone told me that, well, if you do that, then it's impossible for you to really interact with others. So we didn't do it. I didn't get into Mac. But then the word came out that actually now they're making Macs in such a way that they're compatible with PCs, and that the Word program, the you can write the correspondence program that I needed most, both for writing as well as for email, was compatible with everyone else's PC. So one day I walked into Oxford Street, into a Apple shop, and I'm not trying to make business for Apple, but just giving an experience which was very similar to mundane reflection of the experience that I had with Krishna consciousness and Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, I got into the door, and I was the only person in the Apple shop, and there were some sales persons there. And from a distance, I saw the computer, and the computer was open. And I came close, and as soon as I saw the screen, I had this material experience. I immediately thought, this is a computer. This is what a computer is supposed to look like, and this is what a program is supposed to look like. It's supposed to be friendly. It's supposed to be big, and it's not something that I have to squint at to look, makes me adjust to it, but it actually accommodates itself to me. And since that time, I've always used a Mac. In other words, what it was that I was really looking for, within thought that this is what really a computer should be, that is what Steve Jobs was able to provide. And at that time, still, Mac was sort of a collector's item, not the type of thing that people really seriously thought about. Now it's the I think the biggest, one of the biggest computer companies in the world. So this type of creativity, this type of inspirational ability, the ability to think different and yet stay with the principle. The principle is that people, you're selling a computer, you're designing a computer, and making people want the item so much that they have to that they stand in queue for it, that they have to wait weeks or months in order to get their order filled. Steve Jobs was able to think like that. And although he wasn't a devotee, although he was a Buddhist, he was a vegetarian since he went to India. But still, he had this way of thinking different, and therefore he revolutionized the whole industry, an industry that, at least in my opinion, had become very quickly very staid, very set in its ways. That's always the challenge, whether it's a religion or a business or any formula of success. It works at a certain time, and then times change, the success is no longer such a success. It isn't so successful anymore. But rather, the same results don't come with the same activities. And therefore, religions or businesses become ritualistic, dysfunctional, bankrupt, because just somehow or another, number one, they're not relating to the market, and number two, they're not actually awakening a desire for people, for their product in people. And this is also our challenge of Krishna consciousness movement, that Srila Prabhupada had this phenomenally revolutionary, visionary way of spreading Krishna consciousness. And although he was very conservative in one sense, he was very liberal in another. As long as he could maintain the conservative principles that he was giving out, he was very liberal in how he was actually going to market that and get others to take it up in Steve Jobs' death, his disappearance, the real challenge will be how will Apple go on? Will it be able to have the same type of creative flair that it had with Steve Jobs? Will they be able to actually think differently the way he did? Will they have the success that he was able to compound and increase more and more? We've been long in a similar situation. Srila Prabhupada has left the world many decades ago. The real challenge for us to have a vibrant Krishna consciousness movement, as in Srila Prabhupada's time, is to not only stick to the principles that he gave us, but to be able to, willing to do the different, to be able to be brave, to leave India, to leave our comfort zone, to then meet with all types of people, to be able to present Krishna consciousness in ways that's relevant to everyone, and then to wake up in people that inherent desire, nitya siddha Krishna prema sadhya kavanoi, that Krishna consciousness that's within their hearts, so that they actually think, yes, this is what I want, this is the thing that I want. Dynamic preaching. Sometimes there's a tug of war between conservative thinking devotees, liberal thinking devotees. Conservatives think that the liberals are deviating. The liberals think that the conservatives are destroying the society with their conservatism. Obviously, a good balance has to be there. Values required to be maintained. At the same time, there has to be a real extraordinary flexibility, innovation, openness to, as we all know, Srila Prabhupada said, doing the needful in order to market Krishna consciousness to the world and make everyone think, yes, this is what I want. I want the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I want devotional service. I want to be a servant of Krishna. Just in conclusion, we see, for instance, that mantra chanting, kirtan yoga, is becoming more and more popular. It's spreading all through Europe, all through America. But it's not being done with a mood of devotional service. It's being done by those who are non-devotees. And why are they having success? Just because they marketed it. They saw that there was a need, and they created a desire for kirtan and kirtan yoga. And we, the Krishna Consciousness Movement, who brought kirtan to the world, were having difficulty trying to get people to chant Hare Krishna by comparison. So something to think about, something that made me think with passing of another very creative person. It's a shame that Steve Jobs wasn't a devotee. I'm sure he could have done wonders for spreading Krishna consciousness. But as Srila Prabhupada said, we should be able to learn from non-devotees. We should learn how to take gold from a filthy place. Therefore, we can also reflect on how it is that we can make this Krishna consciousness movement into that type of spiritual revolution that we hear about and talk about. But the spiritual revolution happens when revolutionaries make it happen. Hare Krishna.